Well, welcome. And, you know, I think it's easy to say that in challenging times or in days of turbulent times that, you know, everything gets challenged. You know, our economics get challenged, our social structures get challenged, our, you know, our relationships get challenged. You know, when turbulent times are upon us, there are just so many things that challenge us and become difficulties. I think one of the areas that we don't often talk about, or maybe it's just not high on a lot of people's radar, is how our faith gets challenged in turbulent times and in difficult seasons of life. And, you know, we live more and more in a culture. If you're a person of faith this morning, you know that more and more our culture is leaning to a place where people of faith are really not respected, or they're not honored, or we're considered, you know, in some circles, we're actually considered dangerous people. Right? So what do you do during turbulent times and faith? So we're starting this brand new series, and we're calling it Faith for Turbulent Times, and it's looking at the life of a man by the name of Elijah, who was a prophet in the Old Testament, you know, and he has some significant things to teach us about faith in turbulent times. Now, you know, as a little bit of background, you know, Elijah was a prophet to the northern kingdom. After Solomon passed away and passed on the kingdom to his son, he ended up dividing the nation. So Israel got split into two different nations. Number one, in the north, the northern kingdom was actually the nation of Israel, and the southern kingdom of the two remaining tribes was the nation of Judah. So they got divided, you know, Israel and Judah. And Elijah is ministering to the northern kingdom. And the northern kingdom at the time was ruled by a king by the name of Ahab, who had a really evil wife, Jezebel. And, you know, maybe you've heard of her. But what was really fascinating is at the time that Elijah shows up, Ahab, all his predecessors, all the kings in the northern kingdom were all evil, Now think about that for a moment. You've got Ahab, like the seventh king in the succession, and for six kings previous to that, they were all evil and did evil things in the sight of God. Imagine in our political world, for six straight terms of 4 years, you know, minimum, you know, you're not talking about lifetimes of kings, that we would have evil politicians, evil kings that ruled over us. You know, imagine what kind of a social world, or what kind of a culture that would have, you know, created in the nation of Israel. And here's this prophet coming up, and Ahab is a bit of a pinnacle of the evil, along with Jezebel. So that's not something that we can ignore. So you can imagine how dire the circumstances are in Israel when Elijah shows up. It's really awful. And in fact, here are kings who turn people away from, you know, worship of Yahweh, and turn people towards, you know, worshiping Baal and Ashtaroth and other gods of the pagan nations. They even, you know, encouraged, you know, in the temples that worship these gods, you know, engaged in promiscuity and sexual activity with prostitutes, and actually called it worship. That was how they worshiped in those pagan religions. There was even child sacrifice as part of the worship experience that, you know, these kings were encouraging their nation to participate in. Now, you've got to wonder, you know, finally God raises up a prophet, you know, to bring a warning message to the nation at this time. And think about the incredible patience of God at this particular time, to allow for like seven lifetimes. And there's a number of lifetimes of kings even after Ahab that were all evil as well. In fact, the entire history of the Northern Kingdom after the separation is really all about evil practices. And they are the first that are carted away by the Assyrians, you know, into captivity as judgment. But here's a moment where God is sending incredible warning to the nation at the time through this man, Elijah, which is a very dark season in the life of this nation. So I want to take us to, you know, 1 Kings 17, where we get introduced to Elijah. And Elijah, his name means the Lord is my God, okay? And his story begins in 1 Kings 17. And here is the first verse of 1 Kings 17. So if you got your Bibles open and you want to follow along and you're perfectly good to do that, we're going to look at the entire of chapter 17, but we're not going to read it all. We're going to take bits and pieces and go through it. So this is how we get introduced to Elijah. Now Elijah, who was from Tishbe in Gilead, told King Ahab, this evil king, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, the God that I serve, he makes that very clear, I don't serve you, I serve Yahweh, there will be no dew or rain during the next few years until I give the word. Now, that's quite an introduction. We don't know anything about Elijah before this, and this is the introduction that we get to Elijah. Now, this particular verse introduces as a means of context is we're going to look at the number of seasons that get introduced in this particular chapter. And this first chapter is the season of hardship and difficulty for the nation. That Elijah has stood before this evil king and pronounced this kind of judgment on, you know, the nation of Israel as he has spoken it from God that has revealed it to him. Now, you got to put this into context. This is an agricultural economy. This is an agricultural people. To say that you're going to have no dew, no rain for at least 3 years, and in fact, the reality was it was 3.5 years, is really a hard-hitting, you know, reality for this nation. It would have been catastrophic in many, many ways. It would affect the ability to grow and harvest crops, and because of that, a famine would result. People would end up in desperate situations, and when people end up in desperate situations, people do desperate things just for survival. If a drought lasts a long time, obviously people's livelihoods would be in peril. It would affect their mental, it would affect their physical, it would affect their spiritual health, and the entire nation would be harmed. Now, in the nation of Israel, like generally the cycle of the year is every, you know, there's 6 months of no rain and a six months of rain and harvest. And that's kind of like the agricultural season. But to go beyond that for 3.5 years that actually this drought, you know, went for was going to be catastrophic for the nation of Israel. This is not something we can take lightly, because this would have been traumatic to the entire well-being of the nation of Israel. And you know, even in our modern context, we know that we have economic slowdowns, that the economic slowdowns affect every aspect of our modern society. You know, life becomes more difficult. Money becomes more scarce for the average citizen. Prices go up, especially, you know, vital things like groceries, you know, gas, you know, those kinds of things. Hydro, the necessities for living, they're the ones that get impacted in economic slowdown and things that become difficult for us. So, you know, just like, you know, the catastrophe of an economic, you know, a slowdown and crash in our modern society, a drought in Elijah's day would have had the far-reaching implications for the entire nation. And this is a reminder of God's, you know, beginning to evoke judgment on this particular nation. Now, we read that, and this is, you know, just a really powerful way to start this particular chapter. But what's really intriguing is, as I read this first verse, you know what I'm expecting to come next. What would you expect to come next? Now, if you're reading this, the very next thing you would you would expect out of the passage. You expect something like, okay, you know, the battle's on. God against Ahab, you know, the judgment has been given. Elijah's the man that's going to stand up. Elijah's the one that's going to take the fight to the nation. And he's going to be the mouthpiece of God. And he's going to be the one that's going to proclaim where the nation has to go and get the covenant people, you know, looking in the right direction. He's going to roll up his sleeves. You know, the proclamation has been made. And now there's a work to be done. That's what you would have expected. That's what I would have expected as the very next step, because God's in charge. But look what happens as we continue to read verses 2 and onward. Then the Lord said to Elijah, go to the east and hide. I don't know about you, but that just doesn't seem like really good timing, does it? You've made the proclamation, and now the Lord says to Elijah, go to the east and hide. In other words, conceal yourself, you know? You don't need to be seen in the midst of all of this. You've done what I've needed you to do. You don't need to be seen. And here's what God continues to say. Go east and hide by Cherith Brook, near where it enters the Jordan River. Drink from the brook and eat what the ravens bring you, for I have commanded them to bring you food. Isn't that amazing? So Elijah did as the Lord told him and camped beside Cherith, east of the Jordan. Now, wow, you know, that to me, that's a totally unexpected season that's just entered into the life of Elijah. I would not have expected this, you know. In fact, I would have thought the preparation for all of this would have happened, you know, way before this. But the fact of the matter, what we get introduced now is a season of total dependence. That's what we get introduced in the life of Elijah. The proclamation has, you know, been given, but now Elijah has been hidden away, concealed from the main activities of what is happening in the nation, and he's learning total dependence on God. I don't know about you, but this is a season that many people struggle in. When God takes us aside, kind of hides us, kind of conceals us, puts us in a state of, you know, being on our own, taking the things away from us that maybe we had been dependent on, and learning to become totally reliant and dependent on him. You know, Cherith, this Cherith River that he's by, this Cherith Brook, is actually in the Hebrew means cut off from blessings or cut down. That's what it actually means. So in many ways, you know, the only person that Elijah has to rely on, even for the daily sustenance in the midst of a drought, is God, who has directed, you know, ravens to bring food to him and the brook that is right in front of him to give him the water that he needs. And God takes him into this season where God becomes Elijah's source of sustenance. And here's what this season teaches us. And it's taught throughout Scripture, and it's taught throughout many lives of the saints, that God can never use us publicly until he first shapes us privately. God can never use us publicly until he shapes us privately. And often how we are shaped privately is the extent in which God can use us publicly. I know very many people, even in the relationships that I have, and many church people and leaders in other churches and stuff like that, that many of them can talk about a time that they've been broken, that God absolutely broke them and took away any sense of their own self-reliance, their own, you know, pride in their own abilities and all that kind of stuff. And it wasn't until they were broken of all of that that God was able to use them, you know, for significant ministry. But that was a season that they had to experience in order for them to be totally released to the power of God in their lives. And for many of us, it's a season in which we often battle against God And it's a season that we often, you know, come to the end of ourselves and feel, you know, like we failed, or feel that, you know, we've become so empty. But then there's a part of us that realizes that without that, we would never have come to the place of having a total dependence on God that God intended for us in the first place. And it's absolutely, absolutely powerful. You know, God was teaching Elijah that Elijah could depend for God to provide for him, that God is faithful in the season that Elijah was now presently in, and the hardship and the difficulty and all of it that he was going through. Some of you right now are experiencing that kind of careth situation where you feel that you've come to the end of all the things that you were relying on, all the things you were depending on, all the things that you thought were your safety net or your, you know, what you could pick up again if you absolutely needed to. But it's gone. It's not what it used to be, or it's not as safe as you once thought it was. And all of it has kind of evaporated, and you're realizing that all you have really in your life is God. And when you come to that place, it's really the start of something miraculous that God is going to do. Because the reality is that some of the seasons where the greatest lessons that God brings into our lives are often in the seasons where we are emptied of everything that we were depending on and relying on. That this was a season of great teaching for Elijah. And he was learning about God's faithfulness. He was learning about God's love. He was learning about God's care. And each and every day, he was being fed and taken care of when many of the nation were experiencing a drought. So, the story continues with some very interesting developments. So let's continue the story. But after a while, continuing into verse 7 and onward, but after a while, the brook dried up, for there was no rainfall anywhere in the land. Now, that's really amazing, isn't it? Then the Lord said to Elijah, go and live in the village of Zarephath, near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you. Okay, again, another opportunity where God is going to show his faithfulness and that. And this now enters into this kind of season of unconditional obedience. Elijah's learned his lesson. The brook has dried up. But you know, how many of us probably at the time that the brook dried up said, what now, God? You know, how many, you know, isn't it amazing that the brook's dried up? And because the brook has dried up, it now serves as the catalyst for what God is going to do next in Elijah's life. Now, think about that. There's so many times that we've seen the brook dry up. You know, we've seen the brook dry up, you know, relationally, or we've seen it dry up, you know, in our professional lives, or we've seen it dry up health-wise or whatever. You know, and sometimes when the brook dries up, it becomes the catalyst for God to do something brand new in our lives. But a lot of times we see the brook dry up and go, okay, what now? I'm in trouble. What is going to happen? You know, this thing that, you know, and it's another example of God showing not only, you know, that he is faithful, but at the same time, the very things that God can supply to us can sort of become safety nets for us. And here's another safety net that Elijah had in his life with this brook that was supplying him food and water in the midst of a drought. And then suddenly it evaporates on him because there's been no rain. And yet God says, you know, okay, the brook's dried up. Here's what's going to happen next. Some of us miss what God is doing next because the brook has dried up. Can I just challenge you this morning to be open to what God is doing in a new season of your life and not look to the past or not look to a brook that you were depending on and thinking that you're done? Because as I've said many times before, you are never done until God says you're done. That's when you know you're done. So here's Elijah. Now, I'm not going to read the rest of the chapter. I'm just going to go bits and pieces. But, in your life groups, you're going to be able to go through, this whole section where he meets this woman. But Elijah comes upon this woman, and he's been told by God, you're going to meet this woman who's going to, feed you. But he runs into this woman, and the woman that he's directed to is a woman that's barely surviving herself, which is absolutely amazing. I would have expected that God would have directed, maybe to someone, wealthy and, was able to, sustain themselves and give more during a very difficult season in this drought. But no, in fact, the woman says to Elijah that she only has a little bit of oil left, a handful of flour, and she's going to make her final meal. And not only that, but she totally expects, and she's got her son with her, okay, living in this house, and she totally expects that when she makes this final meal, that's going to be it, and they're both going to die. Now, I don't know about you, but that's, okay, where have you taken me, Lord? is this really what you meant? But again, God speaks to Elijah and says, this woman is never going to run out of that handful of flour and not run out of oil, that she'll be able to cook every day, and I will sustain you all, by my hand. And that's exactly what happens, that Elijah is fed and taken care of by this woman who is barely sustaining her own life and was totally expecting to die. But now she is experiencing the blessing of God through this man, Elijah, who had just come out of a season of total dependence on God. And now it's continuing with this beautiful, unconditional obedience to the word of God. Now the situation, seems comfortable, but without any explanation, the woman's son becomes sick for whatever reason, and he dies. And the woman is just, grieved, obviously. And she actually blames Elijah, saying, did you come into my life, to place judgment on me and for me to lose my son and all of this? And in that moment, we have one of the great miracles in the Bible, where Elijah takes the boy upstairs, spreads out over him, prays to the God of heaven, prays to the Lord, asks that he be, brought back to life, that the breath of life would come back to him. And Elijah resurrects this child in this amazing story and is unique even in the Old Testament. And in a moment of recorded history, we have Elijah raising someone from the dead, and the boy is raised to life. Now, the chapter ends with this particular proclamation from this woman, and this is how the chapter ends after all of this that they've experienced. The woman says to Elijah, "Now I know for sure that you are a man of God, and that the Lord truly speaks through you." Now, this is kind of like the concluding season in the life of Elijah. And the life of Elijah, if you look at chapter 17, it's a progression in his life, where he is called of God to make this proclamation, which is a real severe proclamation. He's led into the season where he learns to totally depend on the Lord. And then he's led into the season where, it's total obedience. He hears from God, and God has proven himself in the past in ways that says, if God speaks to me now, I can continue in total obedience and have faith in what the Lord is telling me, because he's proven himself so many, many times. But not only is it for Elijah, but now for the woman, it becomes a season of confirmation, that the Lord cares, that God is at work in the nation in the midst of a really ugly drought, in the midst of really turbulent times, that faith in Yahweh is making all the difference in the world. You know, it's the seasons of Elijah's life that has come to this place. And not only that, it's reaffirmed this woman's faith in God. It's reaffirmed her belief that Yahweh cares, even though there's an incredible drought and a lot of hardship happening in the nation right now. And that's why God was able to use Elijah, because of the different seasons that he took him through. And the woman witnessing the total obedience of Elijah as a prophet of God to what God was telling him, because on a human level, it had to be miraculous, because even for them to sustain themselves in the midst of a drought was virtually impossible. They couldn't have done it. They were down to their last meal. And she lost her son. And yet, God sustained them, God revived them, and confirmed the truth of his word through Elijah. Now, Elijah had experienced a lot. And you know, for you and some of this story, you may have experienced some of these seasons yourself. You've been in a season where, you know, you've relied on a promise of God, and then God took you through a season of total dependence on him, that you went through a season where if it wasn't for God, if it wasn't for your faith in Jesus Christ, you would have rolled up and curled up into a corner in the fetal position and not come out. That there was a season that, you know, that you experienced total obedience to the Lord, and he proved himself faithful time and time again. And over the years, because of these different seasons that you've gone through, it becomes a season of confirmation. Sometimes we doubt, sometimes we forget, sometimes our faith, you know, has us wondering. But God has proven himself so many times in the past that it's a beautiful picture of how God continues to confirm his word, even in the midst of very difficult circumstances. God could be saying to you, I am doing something in you right now in order to accomplish something greater through you. That I'm doing something in you right now in order that I can accomplish something greater through you. Elijah lived during a time of incredible hardship. And yet, because of his unwavering faith in the Lord, God Almighty demonstrated his faithfulness to Elijah in very turbulent times. You know, if you are watching this morning, and can I encourage you today to keep your faith squarely on the Lord Jesus Christ, to keep your faith squarely in the promises of God's word, to keep your faith squarely and your hope squarely in the Lord. Some of you may feel your brook has dried up. Some of you may feel that you're going through the Kereth Ravine experience all on your own. Maybe you're watching and you've never considered a relationship with God ever in your life, and yet you've experienced these kinds of seasons in your life, and you're wondering, wow, you know, so faith was the one thing that carried Elijah through all of it, and not only that, but helped to carry a woman and her son through very difficult times. Maybe that's the kind of faith I need as well. If this message has resonated with you, if you're a believer, if you're not a believer, you know, I would love to hear from you. I would love to, you know, get an email or a text message from you and just encourage you today that you are never alone, that you are never helpless, ever, when we place our faith in Christ. Elijah lived through very turbulent times, and yet the one thing in Elijah that never faltered was his faith in Yahweh. And he never complained in the seasons that God took him through, because God was doing something in him so that God could do something greater through him. And the same is true for you. God right now may be doing something in you because he wants to do something greater through you. And why don't you yield to what the Lord is prompting you today? Have that faith. I know we live in turbulent times, but if there's anything that will carry us through, it's faith. And certainly the faith of Elijah was something that carried him during times that were very similar to what we're experiencing today. God bless you. Let me pray for you. And I hope this message meant something to you. Father in heaven, thank you for the life of Elijah. And, you know, a story that is so many years removed from our reality today, and yet so many touch points that we can relate to this morning. Lord, I want to pray for those who are experiencing difficulty, those who are experiencing hardship, those who are struggling with mental health or financial health or relational health or economic health, like all those things that are measurable in our lives and often force us to qualify the success of our lives. But Lord, I pray today that you would restore the faith of many, that you would ignite the faith of many more, and that you would draw people closer to yourself during a season where many are questioning what is really going on. So Lord, thank you for the life of Elijah, and we pray your blessing upon each and every person who embraces the faith of this prophet of God and live their lives in faithfulness to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Catch you next week. God bless you.